This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Okay, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. As-salatu was-salam ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal-mursaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in amma ba'd. Ayyuhal ikhwatul kiram, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Wa nas'alullah ta'ala an yataqabbal minna wa yaghfir lana dhunubana wa yukaffir anna sayyi'atina. Nas'aluhu bi'ilman nafi' wa rizqan wasi' wa alayhi natawakkal wa ilayhi al-masir. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ الْعَلِيِّ الْعَظِيمِ. Praise be to Allah, Lord of the worlds. Peace and blessings on His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After saying salam to your brothers and sisters, we ask Allah to accept from us and to forgive us, to be merciful upon us, to give us useful understanding and knowledge which is beneficial to us, and give us wide sustenance, and to Allah we are utterly dependent, and to Him is our goal and return. There is no power or might except that of Allah. The last part of this hadith that we've been contemplating on, hadith number 14 in An-Nawwi Zarba'in, An ibn Mas'ud radiallahu an qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la yahillu dam umri'in muslimin illa bi ihda salas, al-fayyibu zani wal-nafsu bin-nafs wal-tariku li-dinihi al-mafariku lil-jama'a. Rawahu al-Bukhari wa Muslim. That's the hadith, just to remind us, from Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu an, saying that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is not lawful to spill the blood of any Muslim except in three situations. The married person committing adultery, life for a life, both those we've gone into in detail. وَالتَّارِكُ لِدِينِهِ الْمَفَارِقُ لِلْجَمَاعَةِ, and the one leaving his or her deen, separating from the jama'ah. That second part of the last part is very important, separating from the jama'ah. Imam At-Tufi doesn't really have anything extra to say aside from what Ibn Rajab says. Ibn Rajab came after Imam At-Tufi to do the exposition of the hadith on Sharh, as I've said many times before. So Ibn Rajab says, similar to what Imam At-Tufi said, he said the majority of the ulama of the madhahib and otherwise are agreed that this last part of leaving the deen means becoming murtad or apostate or renegade. The idea is that a believer leaving Islam should be killed, according to majority of the classical scholars' opinion. Then beyond that, he said the only difference was Al-Hanafi and Abu Hanifa, they said imprison to give chance for Tawbah, because it means taking a life, and if they don't do Tawbah, then they come to the same conclusion of killing of a murtad, or one who reneges their Islam, changes. Abu Hanifa only differed in the case of a woman, and said that the killing is not for a woman, only for a male. Why he said that, and his two famous students are of the same opinion, they linked it with the issue of, which is interesting actually, they linked it with the idea of war. In warfare, they said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Hanifa said, forbid us from killing women, because generally they're not involved in the warfare, you know. So that's where he took the idea from. And he said that this hadith, and the hadith to do with warfare, comes together with the hadith to do with the killing of the murtad, and therefore it means that there is takhsis, or exception, for the woman, and only the males should be killed as male fighters are killed. Generally, he argues women don't get involved in fighting, etc. So that's the things that Ibn Rajab mentions, together with the famous hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, which is in Bukhari, in An-Nasai and Tirmidhi, and it is authentic from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We'll come to deal with it in a short while, in which he quotes the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, "Man baddala dinahu faqtuluhu." Whoever changes their deen, then kill them, or kill him or her. And we need to understand that. But that's what Ibn Rajab quotes, and what the ulama and the scholars who come to the conclusion, this is where they combine this hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and that one of Abdullah ibn Abbas saying, whoever changes their deen, kill them, with this one. Okay, full stop. Yeah, so that's why they come to the conclusion, murtad is to be killed, the apostate is to be killed, the one who leaves the religion of Islam. Now, something interesting, so it's not a new idea, that Ibn Rajab mentioned in regards to this hadith that we're contemplating on. He says, فَإِنْ قِيلْ, if it is said, meaning some have claimed, even in his time, that what about the hadith which Imam Nasa'i, similar hadith to this, puts in his collection, yeah, and I'll mention it in a minute, also Abu Dawud puts in his collection as well, from Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha, using those hadith. What if somebody said that the meaning here is not just somebody leaving their religion, but somebody who leaves their religion and goes to war, muharaba, yeah? So it's actually a warfare declared to the state. So he's saying, al-murad, min jam'i bayn al-ridda wal-muharaba. He said, what if somebody claims that? So even though he mentions it, and he mentions the hadith, Ibn Rajab rejects this opinion. Why does he say reject it? He says, because the hadith of Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha, there is ikhtilaf in it. There's different opinion on it, whether it's authentic to her or whether it is authentic to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whether it's her statement. And this hadith is in Sahih Muslim. But Ibn Rajab seems to confuse the hadith in Sahih Muslim with the one in An-Nasa'i and Abu Dawud. Listen carefully. There is a hadith mentioned similarly in Sahih Muslim. After mentioning a hadith which we're contemplating now, of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he says there's a similar hadith, and he mentions part of the chain from Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha, with similar words to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, right? The same words to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, basically. That hadith is not the same as the one in An-Nasa'i and Abu Dawud. They have different chains. So Ibn Rajab mushes them all or mixes them all together and says, well, we can't rely on it, because some scholars of hadith said it is not authentic to the Messenger of Allah, it is a statement. Others said it is authentic. He's right, talking about hadith in Muslim, and he's mixed it up with the hadith in Abu Dawud and Nasa'i, which are separate hadith. And the Muslim wouldn't make any difference anyway, because the words of that one is the same as Abdullah ibn Mas'ud's word. So it doesn't bring out the meaning, which he's saying is that bringing together, leaving the religion and declaring war. Yeah, that only comes from a separate hadith, which is authentic to Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha in An-Nasa'i in Abu Dawud. Very important to be clear about this. So Ibn Rajab makes, rahimahullah, mercy, Allah have mercy on him, makes this mistake. He mixes the ahadith together. And therefore he says, well, we can't rely on it. what we can rely on is this hadith of Abdullah Mas'ud and the one about from Abdullah Abbas. Yeah, and therefore the verdict here is just murtad, one who leaves the religion, they should be killed, as all the ulama came on the same opinion. So he just corroborates their opinion. He's still missing out from this particular hadith. Yeah, Prophet ﷺ saying, "Tariqul dinihi," didn't stop there, the one who leaves his or her deen, but something very much important, "Al-fariqu lil-jama'ah," and who separate from the jama'ah. What is a jama'ah? It means a society. Yeah, it means the Muslim community, society. Yeah, so if you have a state, yeah, it means separating, leaving them, not just changing the religion. Al-mafariqu lil-jama'ah, separating from it, is in their indication of treason of going against them, and fits also with similarly, and I'll now mention to you the hadith of Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha, which is in Abu Dawud and Nasa'i, which is authentic to her on the same topic, which sheds more light in this last category especially. And that hadith, yeah, that's an Imam Nasa'i mission. And Aisha, Anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Ummul Mu'mineen says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, قال, لا يحل دم امرئ مسلم, starts the same as Abdullah ibn Mas'ud's hadith, that he's not allowed, not permitted to spill the blood of a Muslim person, إلا بإحدى ثلاث, except إحدى ثلاث خصال, except in three cases. Yeah. So, زاني محسن, married person committing adultery, يرجم, stoned, or rajul qatala rajulan, or person killing a person, muta'ammidan, on purpose, in the first degree, murder, fa yuqtal, and that person is killed. Well, that's only one of the possibilities, isn't it? As the explanation of those details I've given you already anyway. Or rajulun yakhruju min al-islam, or a person going out of Islam, yuharibullah, yeah, declaring war on Allah azza wa jal wa rasulah and his messenger. فَيُقْتَلْ أَوْ يُسْلَبْ أَوْ يُنْفَلْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ, that person is either killed. Yeah, remember, even for the one person who kills another person, there is options here of killing. Same with this person who declares war after leaving Islam and Allah and his messenger. They are either killed, فَيُقْتَلْ أَوْ يُسْلَبْ, or crucified, or يُنْفَلْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ, or they are banished from the land. Banished from the land. In other words, there's a choice given in this case. And this word from Ummul Mu'minin Aisha radhiyallahu anha actually clarifies for you al-mafariqul lil-jama'ah, the one who separates from the jama'ah. What have they done? Declared war on Allah and his messenger, yeah, aside from leaving Islam. So it's not just leaving Islam, which is very important and gives us clarification of this hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and cannot be ignored. And this is, in, as I said, in hadith in An-Nasa'i. And it's also mentioned in Abu Dawud as well, similarly. In that one, from Ummul Mu'mineen as well, when she mentioned the last case, she says, وَرَجُلْ خَرَجَ مُحَارِبًا لِلَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, and a person who goes out declaring war on Allah and his messenger. Here, she doesn't even mention from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about leaving Islam. But that's fine, you can put that in as well, because it's extra from the other hadith. Now here it mentions person declaring, going out, declaring war on Allah and Messenger, and for that person, they either killed or crucified or banished from the land. Yeah, that's in Abu Dawud. That's also authentic, that hadith. Okay, so with the greatest respect to Ibn Rajab, I would disagree with him on his conclusion. But what I like about it, that he mentions the possibility and it must have been in the possibility of some ulama's mind for him to mention it. He's not mentioning it from the public, but he himself rejects that opinion that there is a combination of leaving Islam and declaring war against Allah. His messenger means against the state, actually, in this situation. So that's... Now, this issue of declaring war on Allah and His messenger and the issue of either being killed or crucified or banished from the land as option is actually linked, and just the words are mentioned from the Quran itself. And this muharaba is taken by the ulama from the Quran and its application in the hadith, which I'm going to come to as well. It can be taken generally as declaring war against the state, but more specifically also where it was used is in a similar sense, actually, from the hadith. And when we come to that in a minute, the Quran says in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Surah number 5, verse 33, إنما جزاء الذين يحاربون الله ورسوله ويسعون في الأرض فسادا أن يقتلوا أو يسلبوا أو تقطع أيديهم وأرجلهم من خلاف أو ينفوا من الأرض ذلك لهم خزي في الدنيا ولهم في الآخرة عذاب عظيم. Those who wage war against Allah and His Messenger and go out in the land causing, spreading mischief, fasad, indeed their recompense is that they either be put to death or be crucified or have their hands and feet cut off from opposite sides, or be banished from the land. Such shall be their degradation or humiliation in this world, and a mighty punishment lies in store for them in the world to come. This ayah was revealed in the situation the story of some people of Uqal or Urayna, as is reported in authentic hadith, most famous is from Anas, that about 8 people came to Medina and submitted, embraced Islam at the hands of the Prophet ﷺ from Uqal or in other tribes. And these people, when they were in Medina, fell ill, as Anas mentions, because they weren't used to the atmosphere of Medina. When they fell ill, they took their complaint of falling ill to the Messenger of Allah, what to do. The Prophet ﷺ said, this shepherd of ours was looking after the camels of the state of Medina. Go with this shepherd and drink the milk and the urine of the camels under his that are under his watch, yeah, as medicinal purposes, which is what they did for some time, and they got better. Yeah, some of you'll know this story. They got better. Once they got better, they killed the shepherd, the Muslim shepherd the Prophet put in charge, and ran off with some of the camels of the state. So the Prophet sent a party after them, and they caught up with them because of their heinous crime. Okay. This ayah was revealed in relation to them. And they were, they had their hands and feet chopped off at opposite ends. They had their eyes gouged out, and they were killed and left. Well, they were left to then die in the desert heat. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this regard revealed this ayah. Yeah, actually, because of what they did, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the authority of doing one or the other with them, not everything together. And it mentions nothing about gouging the eyes out. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying this is the punishment for such people. What they've actually done, some people limited it to highway robbery, but actually it's wider than that. It's not, and they use that for highway robbery as well. Many ulama came with the idea of people lying in ambush for people going en route, and then ambushing people, threatening them with their lives, stealing goods, yeah, or killing some people. Yeah, they put them under this category, that their punishment can be either of these things. They can even just be banished from the land, which can mean, in nowadays term, be put in prison. Yeah, but the state has a right from the Quran in this situation, in an Islamic state, to do any of them, to give them the death penalty, to have them crucified, have their hands or feet cut from opposite sides, or to be banished. Yeah, it depends on, it's been given, the choice has been given to the state, with time and place having an effect and impact on that. Now, however, it's also, as is mentioned by Ummul Mu'mineen, Aisha's hadith from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it's a wider meaning than that. Yeah, these people haven't just done highway robbery, they've actually done treason against the very state which they submitted to and became citizens to, and were actually looked after. So they killed a minister, you could say, somebody who was responsible for looking after those camels that belonged to the state, and then as renegades, they ran off. So that treason can have the meaning of that punishment. Okay, now, that's to give you the story of these people which linked with the Quranic ayah. There is another narration which is in Bukhari, Sahih Bukhari, which is also similar to the narration that we're talking about of the Ibn Mas'ud from An-Nawawi's Arba'in, 14 hadith, and Aisha's hadith, which I mentioned, which gives more clarity. And in line with that, there's another hadith which supports the meaning from Aisha's hadith, actually, Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha's hadith. If you're still with me, Aisha's hadith is the one that mentions specifically about not just leaving Islam, but declaring war on Allah and His Messenger. So now we come to another hadith, which is from Abu Qilaba, one of the Sahaba, at the time of Umar bin Abdul Aziz. Yeah, and he reports this hadith from the Messenger of Allah, or he says in this hadith in Sahih Bukhari, it's a long hadith, and I just want to take the relevant part from it. In this long hadith, Abu Qilaba, he says, in the company, in the presence of Umar bin Abdul Aziz, who was Khalifa at the time, the second Umar, he says, Qultu, he said, I said, for wallahi, ma qata Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qattu. By Allah, the Messenger of Allah didn't give the death penalty to anyone except in three situations or three cases. And he mentions the life for a life and the adultery of a married person. Then he says, the third category, what does he say? Oh, rajulun harab Allah wa rasulah. Or a person declaring war against Allah and His Messenger. Wartadda anil Islam. While doing irtad means becoming murtad, while renegading or leaving Islam, or becoming an apostate of Islam. So notice here, he mentions it just similar to words to from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as Ummul Mu'minin Aisha radiallahu anha mentions from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that gives more strength. And this hadith, Ibn Rajab fails to mention, which supports the hadith of Ummul Mu'minin Aisha radiallahu anha, giving it greater clarity. Okay, now, the issue is a bit more than that, because there's what to understand this hadith and hadith of Ummul Mu'minin Aisha radhiyallahu anha are less of a problem, because the hadith of Ummul Mu'minin Aisha radhiyallahu anha clarifies for us actually is to do with warfare and treason against the state, which is violent treatment against the state, declaring war against Allah and Messenger. It's not somebody just saying, I don't believe in Islam anymore. It's not as simple as that. That's clarified from these hadiths. But ulama use another famous hadith, which I mentioned earlier on, from Bukhari and Nasa'i and Tirmidhi, from Abdullah ibn Abbas. And we need to bring that hadith, because that hadith when you look at its superficial apparent meaning, it just sounds, how is this possible? Yeah. But the hadith is authentic. So we need to understand its meaning. Okay. So let me mention this hadith from Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma. What does he say? He says, find it. This hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, as I said, is in Bukhari and Nasa'i and Tirmidhi. So, here we are. Sorry, I'm all over the place with that. And it was specially mentioned in regards to when Imam, the Khalifa was Ali, radiallahu an. He was the Khalifa, the fourth Khalifa. In his time, this is specifically mentioned, that some people, they called Zanadiqa. Zanadiqa means those who become apostates, actually. They don't follow Islam. They've corrupted Islam. And also, in other places, it mentions... there were people who became apostates of Islam. And that Ali radiallahu anh, he ordered them to be burnt alive. That's their punishment. Ali is the state, the government. He burnt alive these people. In some reports, it mentions they became apostates. How? That they corrupted Islam. They believed, some of them, in Ali radiallahu anh being God. Yeah. So Ali Ilahi, some of them are called in that sense. So they corrupted, and Ali told them to stop. So Ali represents the state, yeah, that stopped corrupting the religion and spreading mischief in the land through that corruption. And then because they disobeyed, Ali burnt them. Now, when he burnt them, this information came to Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, who said, لو كنت أنا لم أحرقهم. If it was me, I wouldn't have burnt them. Why? لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال. Because the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, لا تؤذبوا بأذاب الله. Do not give the punishment with the punishment of Allah. In other words, don't give punishment by burning people. That's only left to Allah to ever do. ولقتلتهم. I would have killed them. كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Now he quotes the other hadith. So he quotes two hadiths, Abdullah ibn Abbas here. Yeah, he says, I wouldn't have burnt them because Prophet, Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, don't burn, yeah, don't punish with the punishment of Allah, which is burning. And I would have killed them because the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, Man baddala deenahu faqtuluhu. Whoever changes their deen, then kill that person. Yeah, so this is reported in various places, and I've already said, and it is authentic. Now, so how do we understand when we bring this hadith? The ulama bring, classical scholars bring this hadith specifically together with the hadith of Abdullah Mas'ud and say, oh, look, it just means changing the religion. So how do we understand this hadith if it is authentic? Man baddala deenahu faqtuluhu. Firstly, if that's the meaning, and whoever changes their religion, kill them. It doesn't clarify changing from which religion to what. Then it is possible to understand from the hadith clearly that if somebody actually, weirdly enough, if somebody changes from an atheist to become Muslim, they've changed their religion. Man baddala deenahu faqtuluhu. Whoever changes their religion, kill them. They should be killed. If somebody changes from a Christian to a Jew or a Jew to a Christian, yeah, or a Christian to a Muslim, or a Hindu to a Sikh, or a Sikh to a Hindu, all of them are changing religions. So all of these people should be killed according to the apparent meaning of this hadith. True? Because that's what it said. It doesn't say men, whoever changed their religion, yeah, from Islam to something else. There's nothing in the words. No single narration has any details like that. So if you were to take the apparent meaning of the hadith, it seems nonsensical. Yeah. Nonsense. If there is room for therefore interpretation of it to mean only from Islam to something else, there must be room for interpreting it in other ways as well. And that's what we have to look at. Now, first thing is to understand about ridda or becoming murtad. And that is leaving Islam, yeah, to become a kafir. Because many ulama, majority ulama from classical times, they of the opinion that the punishment for an apostate who just leaves Islam, declares that they are not Muslim anymore, is the death penalty. Yeah. And with the greatest respect to them, I disagree, and I'm going to give some of the reasons why. Yeah. That it is the death penalty they're talking about in Islamic State, of course, not for people to willy-nilly go out and do what they want with people. None of them say that. And they also say it is like a had punishment, meaning it's clearly being made clear from Allah and His Messenger that that's the punishment. So the hudud actually is then you expect in God. And if we look at the Quran, what it has to say about a ridda or people changing from Islam to kufr, there's a few ayats and we'll see what they say. Does it mention about an earthly punishment anywhere? First, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 217, وَمَنْ يَرْتَدِدْ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ فَيَمُتْ وَهُوَ كَافِرٌ فَأُولَٰئِكَ حَبِطَتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. Whoever of you reverts, renegades or reneges from her religion, andinihi, and dies while he is a disbeliever, for those their deeds have become worthless in this world and the hereafter, and those are the companions of the fire, they will abide therein forever and ever. We expect that, obviously, yeah? Murtad, that their punishment is a fire. There's no mention of anything, punishment in this world for them. And then again, Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 54, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu man yartadda minkum an deenihi fasawfa ya'ti Allahu biqawm. فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَعِزَّةٍ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ أَعِزَّةٍ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ يُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Or you who believe, whoever becomes a renegade from his or her religion, yeah, then know that Allah will bring forth soon a people who will love, who He loves and who love Him, humble towards the believers and stern towards the disbelievers, striving in the way of Allah and fearing not the blame of any blamer. Such is the grace of Allah, which He bestows onto whom He wills. Allah is all-embracing and all-knowing. Here, again, there's no mention of, after saying those who renegade from their religion, that they're gonna, their punishment is this and that, had punishment, nothing at all. Yeah. Allah SWT is saying He brings forth other people who He loves and they love Him. Then in another verse, in Surah 4 and Nisa, verse 137, Allah SWT says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا ثُمَّ كَفَرُوا ثم آمنوا ثم كفروا ثم ازدادوا كفرا لم يكن الله ليغفر لهم ولا ليهديهم سبيلا بشر المنافقين بأن لهم عذابا أليما. It's talking about munafiqeen at the time of the Prophet ﷺ and any other time. Surely those who believe, then disbelieve, become kafir. Then they believe, then they become kafir again. And then they increase in their kufr, in their rejection and disbelief. Yeah. There will be no forgiveness for them, and there will be no guidance in the right way for such people. Give the tidings to these hypocrites that for them is a painful punishment, and the painful punishment is in the hereafter again. Also, if the penalty for after belief was death after they become disbelievers, then there's no need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to repeat that they believe and disbelieve again. Because Allah says, surely those who believe, yeah, believed, and then they disbelieved. Well, that'd be the end of it if the penalty was. No need for Allah then to say, then they believed again, because they would have already been finished. Yeah, and then they disbelieved again. Yeah, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fact that he mentions it like that shows you that there's no earthly punishment that fits with this ayah anyway. Added to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it clear in the Quran. La iqama bid-deen qad tabayyana ar-rushdu min al-ghayy. There is no compulsion in religion, in deen, yeah, in the way you follow. Indeed, right guidance has been made clear from error. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ يَكْفُرُ بِالطَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى لَا انْفِصَامَ لَهَا وَاللَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. So whoever now rejects falsity, all false gods and falsity and corruption, and believe, and he or she believes in Allah, they have indeed taken hold of a grasp which is firm, yeah, which will never break. Surely Allah is all-hearing and all-knowing. No compulsion in religion, yeah. In other words, you have, and that's the whole trial and test, isn't it? If you are under death threat, made to remain a Muslim, what kind of Islam will that be? You're only staying, going around superficially behaving, yeah, as a Muslim, because otherwise you're going to be put to death by the state. Yeah. So you really are an atheist. So you're a munafiq, yeah, just hiding because of fear of death. Your belief has no value before Allah. Yeah. So this is not, this whole perception is wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ فَمِنْكُمْ كَافِرٌ وَمِنْكُمْ مُؤْمِنٌ وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. It is he who created you all, and from amongst you there are those who are disbelievers and those who are believers, because the choice has been given to you. Like Rafid Deen, Quran is saying it. Surely Allah, and Allah is all fully sees all that you are doing. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the surah number 10, Surah Yunus, Allah says, وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ لَآمَنَ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كُلُّهُمْ جَمِيعًا أَفَأَنْتَ تُكْرِهُ النَّاسَ حَتَّى يَكُونُوا مُؤْمِنِينَ. And if Allah, your Lord, had willed, yeah, all those on the earth would have believed altogether. Yeah, if Allah had willed, he would have made everybody believers. Yeah, but that wasn't his plan. He doesn't want to force people to be believers. Then Allah says, yeah, would you, O Muhammad, talking to the Prophet, would you then force people until they're believers? Would you compel them? Look what the Quran is saying. In other words, Quran's not saying go around forcing people. Quran's questioning that idea. Would you then go around forcing people until they become believers, Muhammad? In other words, no, don't do that. Now, so that has to be kept. This is the Quranic ayah. All that is the very foundation of what we must build the rest of understanding from these ahadith on. You can't just ignore all that. And because otherwise, you, when you come with the hadith, whoever changed their religion, kill them, which is authentic, then it comes in actual contradiction and against the clear verses of the Quran, eh? And the principles of what Islam is about. Not a religion of compulsion and forced belief, otherwise by the sword killed. Yeah. No wonder the Orientalists and disbelievers got these impressions, because we gave them these impressions in our writings and conclusions. Yeah, we gave them the impressions from the stuff I've said to you before, of the idea of the only disbeliever is either somebody subdued under the state of Zimmi, or the one who's killed, unless they embrace Islam, otherwise they don't exist. Many scholars seem to have come with this judgment error with that idea. And now I add to that, anybody who changes their religion, kill them. So it's all about, no wonder we give the idea of killing, and subjugation, as it were. But that's not what Islam, and that's not the Quranic message at all. So keeping that Quranic foundation and message in mind, then we understand, try and understand what this is, these ahadiths are saying. We are already helped by the versions of the hadith from Abu Qilaba and in Bukhari, and hadith which I mentioned to you before, which clarifies this hadith that we're dealing with at the moment, 14. Deen, man baddala deenahu, whoever changes their religion. But deen actually is an interesting word which can have many meanings. Deen can mean a way, a religion, a way to follow. Lakum deenukum waliya deen, to you your way or religion, to me mine, as Allah says in the Quran. Deen can also mean al-hukm, yeah, law, yeah, or commandment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَاتِلُوهُمْ حَتَّى لَا تَكُونَ الدِّينُ كُلُّهُ لِلَّهِ, and fight those who fight you until there is no corruption or fitna. And the hukm and the commandments and the law is for Allah alone. We're talking about Islamic society with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yeah, that is so. Deen can mean hukm or commandment or law. So I believe one of the meanings of Medina is the land of law, coming from deen. Medina from deen, the land of law, as opposed to outside of the city, the land of lawlessness in the wild. Yeah. So deen can also have the meaning of dana li fulan, that one submitted or is humbled to someone else or to something else. So deen has a meaning of also submitting, subservience, and in this case, in Medina, a city, to the state. Yeah, to the state. Yeah, the land of law and judgment. So giving submission to that state is giving your deen to that state. To change your deen means you change your allegiance, yeah, which fits with the idea of also declaring war on Allah and His Messenger from the other hadith. So when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man baddala deenahu faqtuluhu," whoever changes their deen, what it means is not just declaring non-religion. And with Ali radiallahu anhu, they were disobeying the state as well. So there is a treason element there and causing corruption. His idea is of a change is their allegiance, yeah, which becomes much more serious, comes an issue of treason. That's how I understand the hadith of man baddala deenahu faqtuluhu. Whoever changes their allegiance, yeah, then kill them, because they've actually committed treason. And it's interesting also, in line with that, that at the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, before Ali's time, the first Khalifa, the Sahaba declared, and it is reported famously, the wars of Murtaddin that Abu Bakr declared. The war of Murtaddin meaning apostates or renegades. But there wasn't one group under this category. There were three categories under this. One group were Muslims who refused to pay zakat to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. But they didn't leave Islam. They just refused to do that part. Second group were those who didn't want to accept Abu Bakr as a Khalifa. Yeah, they didn't renege from Islam either. The third group actually left Islam and took Musaylama al-Kazzab, the liar, the big liar, as a prophet. All these three groups got together and they were known as the apostates. The first two groups never left Islam, but their apostasy was to go against the state. So all the group in that sense were murtadin. Yeah, they were all guilty of treason, or they're declaring war against the state, which is represented by the Sahaba and Abu Bakr at the time. So that's interesting point to understand how, it can be understood. So I believe, sorry, I lost track of time. I hope we're all right. What time is it? All right, we're all right. It's still okay.
10 to 8.
So in summary, if you bring the ahadith together, and I think in the ahadith of Abu Qilabah in Sahih al-Bukhari, and as I keep mentioning the hadith of Umm al-Mu'minin Aisha radhiyallahu anha in Muslim, in An-Nasa'i in Abu Dawud, which I mentioned, clarifies this third category, which is mentioned by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud's hadith in Bukhari Muslim, the one we're particularly contemplating on now, the third category. Yeah, وَالْتَارِكُ لِدِينِهِ الْمَفَارِكُ لِلْجَمَعَةِ, the one who leaves their deen allegiance. You can say leave Islam as well, but الْمَفَارِكُ لِلْجَمَعَةِ, separating from the Muslim community or society, means going against them, yeah, which is clarified by the other hadiths which I mentioned, that declaring war on Allah and His Messenger, yeah, that person can be killed by the state, yeah, and it includes those who are doing highway robbery and in the against breaking the law of the state, yeah, violent robbery. So that application, and then there's a choice of being killed, crucified, or even banished or imprisoned. So that can, imprisonment or banishment is an option here. It doesn't have to always be killed either, which is interesting, and which is perhaps the reason why Abu Hanifa and the Hanafiya had the idea of imprisonment until Tawbah was done. Although perhaps their inclination is more to do with because giving chance for Tawbah to not become apostates. But really, this death penalty is not simply about leaving Islam, not being satisfied, yeah, and then having the death penalty put on their head, but more to do with treason to the state, more to do with violence, yeah. More to do with going out armed against the state. This is the place where these ahadith need to be brought together to be understood. Yeah, and therefore, man baddala deenahu faqtuluhu, on its own like that, yeah, it just goes in conflict with the Quran and the principles of Islam. But when it's brought together with the other ahadith and Ali radiallahu anhu, what he did, yeah, to some extent, it perhaps puts more flesh on the bone, makes you understand this difficult hadith in its right context. And I believe also the ulama classic, why they went down that road, because reality is that the only kind of people in the Muslim world at the time when Islam was strong who would leave Islam, yeah, were either hypocrites who or were always a danger to the state, yeah, and others who would go out against the state, like Khawarij did. Yeah, Khawarij went out, they didn't leave Islam, but in the sense of they went against it, and war was declared on them, and many were killed by Ali radiallahu anhu. Yeah, so ulama classically, I think, went down the road of they couldn't imagine anybody who's a Muslim leaving Islam, yeah, and their idea here leaving Islam was more in line with, they could only see somebody who was going to was committing treason or changing their allegiance, or they were in cahoots with the enemy. Perhaps that is the other. Yeah, Allahu Alam. That's what I believe. That's the other I can give. I personally, and Allah knows best, I'm of the opinion that it is not a had punishment, which has been absolutely made clear. As you can see, there's room for interpretation with that hadith anyway. So my conclusion would be that we don't encourage people to leave Islam. Obviously, I think only the ignorant, may Allah guide them, would leave Islam. Anybody who really knows about Islam, its truth rather than some of its corruptions, we believe would never leave Islam. But faith, of course, there are those who will be believers, those who are disbelievers. This is the life of this world. There'll be those who will leave Islam. There'll be those who will be munafiqs and hypocrites. There will be those who remain kuffar and disbelievers and never come to the guidance. But we pray for the guidance of all, as we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us on Siratul Mustaqim, to keep us guided aright. And as we live, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the enlightenment to live by Islam. And when we die, may He give us the tawfiq, the power and ability to declare from our hearts and tongue, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. Any questions? Brothers and sisters. It's a tricky area and topic. Yes. Can't hear, I'm afraid. That's that must be, is that your mic again, Zareen, I think? Can't hear anything.
JazakAllah, Sheikh. Suhail here. Just while Zareen is fixing his mic, can I just quickly ask, forgive me if I forgot, during the time of fixed seerah we were talking about, there were some tribes going against the pledge, and I just wonder whether this hadith was around that time, and those tribes, I think there were some orders against them if they will break the pledge, and we have to fight. The Prophet said that we have to fight against them. So was it in that context at all?
No, we have nothing to do with when the Quranic ayah mentioned was to do with what I mentioned in the story of the people of Uqal who came and lived in said in Medina. But the ahadith of all around this topic of the three categories, we have nothing specific to link to a particular time. No.
Thank you.
Alaikum, Akhi. Can you hear me a little bit better now?
Alaikum as-salam. Yes, I can hear you.
How are you, Akhi? Are you well?
Alhamdulillah.
Nice to see you again. Akhi, just a point of clarification. Just want to know about the meaning of muharaba, please.
Haraba, they tended to use it for what the Quran mentioned. The ulama said this is to do with what those people did, for example. Yeah, they went against the state, they stole the animals, and they applied it to highway robbery or any violent kind of crime where it involves killing people or threatening to kill them. Yeah, all that can come under haraba.
Yeah. Okay.
Even the people going out against their own state can come under haraba. It's not like normal warfare out there. You understand?
Yes.
So it's different from that.
A criminal activity involving threat and potential killing.
Yes. So it can be robbery without, but violent crime in that sense against individuals or against the state.
Against the state, okay. And Akhi, is there a difference between murtad and I think it's zanabika that you mentioned?
Zanabika, they used it as a loose term, but it's similar. It's similar. Yeah. Zanadika, they tend to use it for people who have corrupted the very foundation. Those who said God, Ali is God, so they said a Zanadika. They corrupted the very foundations of belief.
So is
so Zanadika, tended to use the word Zanadika for them.
Is that more to do, therefore, with corruption
of the religion?
I see. Right, direct corruption of the religion, as opposed to being murtad and saying,
corrupting the very foundations of religion, where there's no difference of opinion.
So corruption, therefore.
Does that happen? Yes.
And last one from me, sorry to take up everybody's time.
All right.
The quotation from the Quran, mashallah, you mentioned, obviously, that it was Surah Al-Baqarah, first of all, and then the verse after Surah Al-Baqarah that you mentioned, was it from Surah Nisa?
The second one I mentioned to do with the apostate was Surah number 5, verse 54, and the third one was Surah Nisa, verse 137.
So verse 137. Jazakallah. Thank you. Okay, that's what it was. Thank you so much.
No problem. Anybody else?
Assalamualaikum, Doc. Muntazim.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Doc, with regards to these types of groups of people, would the so-called new phenomenon of ex-Muslims and how they go about propagating against Islam, would they be categorized within the group that you're talking about? We're not in an Islamic state, but because how they're like, okay, they're not physically fighting, but they're with they certainly use their words, and there's certainly a massive a group. No, I don't know the proper word, sorry, I'm not clever enough for the right word, but how they propagate all their
whether they be categorized as causing corruption in the land.
Yeah,
this would be not a clear-cut answer. It would be for the state, and it would require ijtihad in that, whether the state really saw these people as a threat. Personally, I wouldn't see them as a threat except themselves. They only look, for me, they look fools to themselves. Islam, my way, is that these people... I see it more as, I mean, I mentioned the issue of the corruption done by the Zanadiq at Ali's time, radiallahu anhu, but that's not necessarily the case that these people were spreading through the internet, otherwise these kind of vitriol and falsities even. The state doesn't have to do anything, yeah? And I believe Islam and its principles and its guidance is clear and strong. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, La ikraha fid din, qad tabayyana rushdu minal ghayy. Right? Guidance has been made clear from that which is deviation. So if they want to come out with their vitriol deviation, leave them to it. That's what I say. But again, you see, it'll be left to the state to decide, not me to decide. So there's nothing absolute.
I just have the clarification. I just thought, would they be part, would they come under one of them groups that you're discussing about?
They're better off calling themselves apostates rather than ex-Muslims. But there's a whole reason for calling. They can't seem to get rid of the word Muslim from themselves, can they?
No, they don't want to because they're so attached.
Because
it
gives them chance to fire more dirt, throw more dirt at. But
it's fashionable.
We call them apostates.
Thank you very much for that.
Any other questions, brothers and sisters? Clarification on, I think we've had quite a few sessions on this hadith.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
I have a question regarding fatwas against ex-Muslims are not living in the Muslim state. Let's say they're not living in a Muslim state and they're causing havoc against Islam in other countries. Does the fatwa from the Muslim state, is it applicable to that person living somewhere else? Salman Rushdie didn't say that he was not a Muslim anymore. I can't recall that very well, but that's a situation. That's an example I can think of where somebody is not living in a Muslim state, but has a fatwa against them for saying something against Islam.
Yeah, no, it's not a fatwa. It's just an opinion. It has no value. These are political issues. These are political issues. Salman Rushdie never, he clearly said he wasn't Muslim. He hadn't been Muslim for some time before he even wrote the rubbish he wrote.
Okay, so my memory's
I remember it very well.
but what I used him as an example is a general one. Someone who's not living in a Muslim country and causes havoc outside of that state, can the Muslim country put a fatwa on their life to say kill that person because an apostate?
No, they can't. They can't do that. They have to follow political law. A Muslim country wouldn't do that. What if then a Muslim country, one imam or scholar in that Muslim country puts a fatwa? Don't use the word fatwa. Fatwa just means a legal opinion, meaning they put a declare death for that person.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
It's an insult to the word fatwa to keep using it like that. So if they declare that that person should be killed, any alim, the Muslim state doesn't have to follow it. They can actually arrest that alim who said that.
Okay, so it's not applicable. I didn't think it would be applicable. These are political issues. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's nothing from Quran and Sunnah that you give a fatwa out, a verdict out. A court can give a ruling in a Muslim country.
Yeah.
About someone, only a court in the end, judges, which are state linked, not any, you know, no sheikh and alim in a mosque sitting there can give out a verdict like that, because for express.
Okay, but the courts in a Muslim country can do that to a person who's not living there. That's my point. It doesn't matter who.
No, they can't. I didn't say not living there. I didn't say not living there.
They have to be living in the Muslim country.
Yeah, they only have authority. You have to follow international law. You can't just send out.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Mossad sending out people to be killed in other countries or kidnapped. Yeah. I mean, that's what some states are doing. And they're doing it in hiding. And sometimes they get exposed for it. And everybody's up in arms and saying this is not right, isn't it?
Yeah. So no,
following international law, it's not to do with the religion here.
Right. Yeah, no, that was my understanding. I didn't express it very well, but thank you.
No problem. Anything else, brothers and sisters? Before we finish for this year, no, nothing more in writing, Zafar, that we're missing?
Nothing here, Sheikh, no. There's a question a sister asked before, but so one of the other guys just clarified that, so. Earlier.
Okay, Jazakumullah khair. We'll be having a long break now. I wish you all well, and I pray that you are really blessed in this most blessed of months that are coming, and that all of us increase in iman and taqwa and closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah give us tawfiq to grow closer to the Quran and to help us implement it in our lives, enlighten our way. Forgive us our multitude of sins. We're all sinners. So make dua for each other, brothers and sisters. We'll have to send a notice. I'll be after Eid sometime. I haven't decided which date yet when we start, recommence with hadith number 15. Anything good that came from the sessions is from Allah alone, and any mistakes are all mine. May Allah SWT forgive me. And may Allah SWT keep us guided right. Barakallahu feekum. With your permission, Zafar.
Yes, sir. Jazakallah khair, Sheikh, and may Allah reward you for listening.
Hayyakumullah.
Barakallahu feek.
Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Lovely to see you, inshallah.
Assalamu
alaikum to everybody.
Remember in your du'as in Ramadan, brothers and sisters.
Inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Salam.